Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey, old dogs. I just want to take a moment to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Smart Move. Smart Move is the best way I know to protect yourself from evictions and bad tenants. Smart Move has a special offer just for Old Dog listeners. Just go to tenantscreening.com, enter code OLDDOG25 at checkout, and you'll get 25% off your next screening. That's tenantscreening.com, enter OLDDOG25, and get 25% off your next screening.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show,
where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, are Class C properties a smart buy for today? But before we get started, again, I just want to say, hey, guys, how are you doing? How are you doing with your investing? Okay, I know a lot of you that have little ones still at home or older ones maybe still at home know that it's kind of back to school, and that's kind of what is happening at our house. We've only got really one still in school, but it's definitely an active time. He's a football player, so he's been working all through summer, getting ready for the games and already off to a great start. It's pretty exciting, fun stuff. Love sitting in the stands, cheering him on. And also, it's great seeing him working on his homework and getting all his studies done at the same time. So it's fun, busy time right now. Yeah, I'm cranked up for just moving forward here, focusing on just the constant hunt that we have as real estate investors as we're building our portfolios. What I'm going to talk about here is something that I don't talk a lot about, and that's just the various classes of properties and where you should be investing. Now, I mean, everybody's got their own individual needs. As a newbie, I jumped right into what I would say were Class C type properties. Now, I don't know that they're classic Class C properties because they meet certain criteria and some they don't. And so I'm just going to go into it a little bit here because I think there's a message for newbies as well as established investors that you might have to look at, not only in light of just general investing for the term of building your portfolio, but also what does it mean in light of the current economic situation if we are approaching a recession? Let's just delve into this a bit. Now, first off, there are many types of real estate properties available to investors, and that's why it's important for you to understand the different property classes So as you make an investment in the right property type, it's one that suits your individual strategy and goals. Okay, property classifications represent different levels of risk. That's really what the A, B, C, D, F designations are all about. It's about risk and potential return. So property classes refer to a system used to determine the potential of an investment property based on a combination of geographic, demographic, and physical characteristics. Now, there may be some areas, and when I talked about buying the properties that I had invested in, some of them maybe in the physical characteristics didn't match a Class C, but the area it was located in brought it into that category. So there are some balances here that you have to take a look at. It's important to note that the difference in each property class is relative to the market it's in. Each class represents a different level of risk and return, and this classification system is an important factor if you're searching for sort of the best investment properties. And best is, again, one of those relative terms here. You know, what's best for you? Do you want something that's going to be a passive investment? Do you want something that you're willing to put the time into get the maximum yield? Therefore, as a real estate investor, it's critical to have a good understanding of the characteristics of each of the different classes of properties. So, I'm going to do a real overview here. I know you guys probably know a lot of this stuff, but just as an overview, a Class A property, for example, is sort of the best in terms of the quality of that product. They're typically newer homes, often less than 10 years old, or it may be a historical home that's been fully renovated. Really good condition, few maintenance issues, good market to be in. It's got the modern amenities, high-end finishes such as hardwood floors, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops. These are the things that make it a higher quality. Now, it may not be a house. It could be an apartment as well. The issue with Class A is that it'll probably have a lower cash flow because of the high expenses required to maintain it and, of course, to acquire it too. These types of properties are typically located in areas that are sort of outside of cities. Now, we have a lot of them in the inner cities too now, and where you have these gentrification zones in different areas where there's a lot of change, a lot of millennials and others are moving into the inner city, and you have some nice properties there that have been upgraded or new ones that have been built. So usually they have lower crime rates, let's say high income, good infrastructure, good school districts, shopping centers, medical facilities, also all the best stuff, so to speak. And there's a high demand for them, so they're not difficult to rent. You've always got folks. Sometimes people have waiting lists. Class A properties are your most low risk in terms of, the things that you're trying to achieve, except for maybe the cash flow part of it might be a little bit tighter. Now, Class B are sort of that next step. They're similar to A in that but they might be a little bit older. Maybe they're 10 to 30 years old. Maybe a lower quality. They're generally still good condition, located good neighborhoods, may have features similar to Class A. However, they often require a little bit more maintenance than a Class A. As a result, the acquisition costs are relatively lower, which is good. Property buyers can purchase these houses at a higher cap rate than Class A's for the most part. Class B tend to have lower income tenants, maybe more blue collarish or maybe white collar, younger folks that are in the corporate side of things. However, they're quite desirable to a variety of investors since they offer more growth potential. Now, sometimes you can get that B and renovate it, do some things to bring it up to an A quality, or maybe it's in a B in an A area that you can upgrade. So if you can find those and you've got a pretty good investment there. In the midst of this trend, Class C properties are attracting, though, a wide demographic of investors. Class C, is it a good investment? And that's really what I want to take a look at here, because let me just define a Class C for you. They're usually older buildings that are more than 30 years old with minimal amenities and outdated systems. In fact, they usually have most of their original appliances and systems. Many of these investment properties show visible deterioration and often have deferred maintenance issues. Due to their poor condition, they tend to have lower upfront costs compared to other property classes. However, they will often require extensive renovations and hands-on maintenance, and it may be over a period of time. You may have to continually maintain them or put more into maintenance than others. As a real estate investor, you have to invest some money in repairing the structure and mechanical systems. Some properties will require significant renovation work before they're expected to provide the steady cash flow that you'd be seeking. Despite its apparent wear, a Class C property itself can still be, you know, a fine place to live in. However, you know, they may be in a less desirable area than a B or A. Maybe it's a low-income area. Sometimes they have higher crime rates, lack the amenities. Maybe the schools are okay, not the best. You know, maybe some restaurants and maybe good infrastructure. The tenants in these areas are more likely to be, you know, there's going to be some government subsidies, some low-wage jobs, and these factors also contribute to vacancies, high turnover, and evictions. The properties usually net a lower rental rate compared to A, B, and C. But the benefits of a Class C, and what attracts a lot of people, what attracted me in the beginning, was the fact that, you know, there you can take this and convert that property. You can upgrade it. You can put money into it. They have a higher cash on cash return. They're higher cap rates. And so the returns can be outstanding. And a lot of people that are doing the BRRRR technique, the BRRRR or whatever have you, those, you know, those folks will go after a C and try to bring it up to B status. If you can find a C class property in a B neighborhood, then that can really make a difference. It's got a low acquisition cost. A lot of times, you know, your rents in relation, instead of, you know, using the 1% rule, you could do the 2% rule because they're so inexpensive. And that was initially what brought me into that sort of Class C as I started out is, you know, I thought, gee, you know, I could buy a house for $150,000, but you know, why not buy three, and then with the three, you know, at $50,000, you know, I have a chance of making more overall cash flow. Now, what I didn't take into account, though, is that the amount of work required to do this. So right as I speak to you right now, I'm actually in Memphis. I'm here because my Memphis properties have required a tremendous amount of work, and I'm telling you this like right up front because on our show, we bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Evicting a tenant can be painful and cost as much as $10,000 in court and legal fees. The best way to protect yourself from evictions and bad tenants is to screen your tenants. And the best way that I know to screen your tenants is Smart Move. Smart Move is part of TransUnion, a trusted consumer reporting agency with more than four decades of experience. They built an online screening service for independent landlords that delivers critical credit and background reports to you in minutes. It is a valuable tool to help you when you are trying to decide who to put into your rental property, and they can help you find your next great tenant. Only SmartMove has a credit score built specifically for rental screening called Resident Score, which can identify eviction risk 15% better than a traditional score. With the Smart Move report, you'll also get a criminal background check, eviction history report, as well as a full credit report. And only Smart Move has Income Insights, a report enabling you to analyze renter income to determine if further verification is needed. See why 9 out of 10 users recommend Smart Move, and more than 4 million landlords have used Smart Move to make better leasing decisions. Smart Move has a special offer just for Old Dog listeners. Go to tenantscreening.com, enter code OLDDOG25, and you'll get 25% off your next screening. That's tenantscreening.com. Use code OLDDOG25 at checkout for 25% off your next screening. Smart Move. Reduce your risk of non-payment and evictions.
I'll tell you, there has been some ugly, tough stuff trying to deal with some of the challenges of these properties. Now, I bought initially, the first three properties I bought was one in the Georgia area, is Forest Park near Atlanta. And then I bought two in Memphis. Again, I was a newbie investor. I was more attracted to these inexpensive properties. Being from California, I saw properties in the $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 category. And I'm going, man, you know, I can't even buy a garage. I don't think I could buy a work shed in California for that amount, you know. So I was kind of enamored with the you know, just the whole low price thing. What I didn't realize is, you know, there are hidden things that you do not necessarily see all the time in neighborhoods and in these homes. Now, I tried to buy newer homes. Two of these homes that I purchased were, one was built in the 80s, one was built in the 90s, and another was, you know, 70s. I went to the neighborhoods. I did research on the neighborhoods. Yeah, the schools were not the best. Yeah, there were, you know, little red flags that as a newbie, I didn't know all that well. And so I started to look at what were the, you know, what were the advantages? Well, one, you know, I looked at the rent compared to the purchase price. And yeah, we're probably like, you know, more like a 2% rule, you know, that I was, you know, I could get really good rents. That is, if you can find the people to rent them. And that was part of the challenge is I started off buying turnkey. I think you guys have heard the story before. And they had tenants in them. Everything was, great. It started off fantastic. I didn't have to do anything, right? I just started getting checks. Well, all of a sudden the tenants disappear, and then you've got to find more tenants. Well, you find out your property management isn't that great, and you're having trouble finding tenants, or at least the property management firm is, because they've got 400 other houses that they're trying to find people for, and your area is a little bit more challenging. And I had to fire property management. I had to go through tremendous vacancies for a six-month period on one particular property. Finally, went for, you know, and again, I'm talking more the Memphis area. In Atlanta, I was pretty fortunate. It was a newer house, a nice house. It was a little bit remote, but it was an area that had some great stuff going on in that community. Today, it's one of my properties that I have to worry the least about. And it has steady tenants in it. When there is a vacancy, it's filled quickly. I've been able to increase rents. It's been, you know, I have your typical sort of maintenance issues, you know, with air conditioning or whatever it may be. Generally, it's one of those properties you dream about having because it really doesn't require a lot. And it just, boom, the checks just come in on a regular basis. So I've got good management in place. That's the original management from when I started, and it's been going good. But then I've got these other two properties in Memphis. One is an 80s house, brick house, nice looking house, big property, corner lot. I thought that this thing, I wouldn't mind living in it. That was kind of how I was looking at some of these properties. Would you mind living in this home? And so, I drove the neighborhoods. I would go to the neighborhoods different times of the day when I was considering buying them, seeing, you know, what are the people going to work or people not going to work in that neighborhood? Are they on assistance? You know, trying to study the neighborhood really well. I went to parks nearby, you know, were there drug dealers hanging out at the parks? Were there any issues? I didn't see anything like that. Looked like very good areas. But over time, I found out there were people that I had spoken with that said, hey, you know, these are, you know, not good areas. And so I'd already purchased them. I had to deal with that. And it was a long learning curve. Well, you know, I'm out here because I had been fighting like crazy to get good tenants in these properties. When I went Section 8 and I put all of my Memphis properties on Section 8, it started off great. I had like a whole year where I was just getting these above rent checks on a regular basis from the government. And it was awesome. But then all of a sudden they would leave or they would trash the place or something horrible would happen like that. And then I'd have these huge repairs. Plus the Section 8 people would come in and do their inspections, and I'd usually have to put in like $1,200 a pop, you know, just to do the upgrades from the Section 8 inspections. And that was just, man, there was just a lot of headaches there, and I was eating up my cash flow, and I had vacancies, and, you know, just a lot of challenges as time went on. But, you know, I had already refied these properties to purchase the 22 unit in Indianapolis. So I had these, now I had mortgages on them. In the beginning, I had them for cash, and I probably could have sold them. The value of the properties had increased, but then it kind of leveled out. And so now it's like, you know, am I going to lose money on this? I didn't want to lose money, although I think when I look at it in retrospect, the amount of money I pumped into these to keep them going and to try to keep them producing is crazy. And my property manager, good people, but they're just really, they're very costly in terms of their turnarounds. I mean, right now, the reason I'm here in Memphis is because I'm working. I got a handyman that I'm working side by side with, and I'm going to do the turnaround on this property and save myself a couple $1,000s. So it's worth it flying out here to do this, just for the reduced turnaround expenses. But, you know, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be looking for, you know, more large apartments. So I'm just kind of sharing this with you guys because, you know, it really is something that you have to think about. You know, do I want to buy that safe property in a nice neighborhood with nice schools, with all the right stuff? And I'm talking about B properties. Or do you want some that are going to, they're going to cost you? I've purchased some other properties. In Indianapolis, I've got a duplex there. It's an older building. You know, when you look at the age of the building, it was built in 1900. You would think that it was, you know, a C property, but it happened to be in the right area where there are a lot of nice renovations in these other, that's a duplex, and there's a lot of other duplexes in that area that have been just upgraded and really nice looking. So it's really more of a B area now. So I have no problem getting tenants, keeping tenants, and maintaining a strong cash flow in that property, which when I bought it was really a Class C type property, but I bought right in an area that isn't an area that is an up and coming area. So as I cover this, you know, there are some benefits with C's. Sometimes for me, it feels like you're rolling the dice a little bit because you're hoping, you know, that there's going to be some transformation in the neighborhood, that things are going to get better, not worse. And some of my Memphis areas, I would say they didn't get worse like this is a war zone. No, it's just an area that I'm having trouble there. It's not attracting the caliber of tenants that I'd like. So I have to do this aggressive marketing effort, getting a ton of tenants in. And I've talked about that stealth tenant marketing to really get some good, solid people, because I don't want that person at the end of a year to leave, especially leave the place trashed. I want that person to renew year after year after year. So I really have to look for somebody that wants that solid roots. They may have got, maybe they have kids that you know, they want to put into school. They don't want to take them out of school. There's a lot of things you look for that person that you want to stay in your property. You know, I'm kind of just throwing this out because I want you, if you are investing, as you're looking at it, you know, the Class C, yeah, it's an area, they can be a good solid place. If economically we do have that recession, you know, C's are going to be more in demand, I think, because there are those people that are maybe downgrading, that maybe they've, you know, lost their job, or they've had they were laid off from their job and they had to, you know, get a couple of smaller jobs or whatever to keep things going. And, you know, they can only afford a Class C. But, you know, there's also just those straight folks that are, you know, blue collar, that are hardworking. They're working for a company. Here it'd be FedEx, or it might be one of the other, you know, major companies that are located in Memphis that just want a good, solid, nice place with a nice yard. And, you know, those are the places that I have. The problem is, again, some folks will look at the area and they'll say, I don't know if I'd want to stay there. take caution. If you can get a B property, I think ideally if you can get into a B area like I did in Indianapolis, where you've got a C property in a B neighborhood, boom, you know, even if you don't upgrade that property, you're still going to have a steady flow of tenants because the area is attractive to people. So you've got to weigh out these various factors. You know, as I mentioned earlier on, there's the geographic, there's the, you know, the neighborhood, there's the schools, you put all these little factors together to what, you know, they're not necessarily going to be strong in every area, but if there is a potential for that, you know, that property to be upgraded, if you take a C in a B neighborhood and you can upgrade it to a B, I think that's sort of your ideal right now, if you can do that. But, you know, again, it depends on you, depends on how much you're willing to put into it. The good thing is, in that kind of a situation is, yeah, you're going to have a lot of upfront time you're going to have to put in, but once it's in place, boom, you know, it's going to be one of those properties you don't even think about. The income just comes in and just goes on. So that is it for today. I thought that this might be of value to you, especially if you're a newbie or if you're an existing investor and you're considering Class C versus maybe Class B or a C with a B potential. I mean, that I think is your best bet. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, Are Class C Properties a Smart Buy for Today? So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.